It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. Well, let's get this corrected here. All right, there we go. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is November the 9th, Thursday, November the 9th, 1900 UTC. And let's look at our watch here. It's 8 degrees C right now with a high of 11 and a low of 4 here in Seattle. I'll be here today and tomorrow. I've bought an adapter for my phone, so I'm going to try and plug this headset into my phone. I'll be picking that up from the little pickup kiosk later today, so we'll see how that goes tomorrow. Using the phone, because the idea is that I'll be able to use this headset to do the show, and it'll be better quality up on the roof. Let's check in with Calm. If you want to hang out and chat during the show, all you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and once you're there, launch Calm or Commode Chat. Just type CON, press enter, and type G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and that will get you into the Anon Radio room where you're hanging out with cool people like Ratsu and Stug. Claudio M is in the house, as sure will be many more. You can always just jump on in. You can also jump in on Jabber. It's at conference.jabber.sdf.org. So Anon Radio and SDF are rooms that people are in there. WX Boss in the house, welcome, welcome. And X1 is here, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. There's lots. We've got some death, we got some destruction, we got some science news, all sorts of stuff. So let's get going. Let's get started. First, a Whitland man killed after a panicked cow escaped from market. A man died after being trampled by a cow that had escaped from a nearby market, an inquest is heard. Retired council worker Hugh Evans, 75, was crossing the road in Whitland, Carmarthenshire on November 19th, 2022. Wow, this is a while ago. I wonder why it's news now. When he was confronted by an extremely agitated cow. Yonelli Coroner's Court heard he suffered multiple serious injuries and died in hospital 6 days later. Whitland Mart, a livestock market, has since installed a cattle grid. Mr. Evans, described as a beloved father and grandfather, was airlifted to the University Hospital of Wales in Cardiff after being trampled, and that's where he died. So, it was Mooder. Hey, Thrig, welcome, welcome. And Snowdesk in the house, hello, hello. Never trust cows. it's something helpful. Never trust cows. All right. So who else is dead? Who else is the destruction? Well, don't worry. We got plenty of it for you. Next, another elderly person, but this time they're on the giving end. Hey, Thimple, welcome, welcome. Elderly lawyer shoots dead two climate protesters blocking the highway. A retired lawyer, he's not practicing anymore because clearly he doesn't know that you're not supposed to do that. Retired lawyer shot and killed two men who were part of a protest blocking a highway in Panama. While he was not officially named by police, the suspect has been widely reported to be Kenneth Darlington, 77, a retired American lawyer and university professor who lives in Panama. Police said that a man had been arrested at the scene where he was charged with aggravated homicide and illegal possession of a firearm. Mr. Darlington, if this is the guy, was born in Panama City, but has a U.S. citizenship, and was caught up in a traffic jam on Tuesday on Highway 55 miles west of Panama City, caused by protesters campaigning against the recent deal the government made to restart a copper mine. Despite the cameras, horrific video footage showed Mr. Darlington, who was allegedly caught in the traffic, walking up to protesters and opened fire, killing the two men. Let's see if he's got any more information. He allegedly asked, this is classic boomery kind of behavior here. He allegedly asked who the leaders of the campaigners were, to which the men replied that there were none. He said, "I don't want to talk to women, I want to talk to men," he responded. So this guy, murderous lawyer, 70-year-old lawyer, is on a rampage and he wants to talk to the men in charge. who's the man in charge? And he can't handle that there's no one in charge. Anyway, it's a shame that two people aren't going home. They're in Panama. In Myanmar, a lot more people, formerly Burma, depending on who you ask. I never really know. Never know if it's Myanmar or Burma, but the news always says Myanmar. Military-installed president of Myanmar has warned that the country is in danger of breaking apart if the government can't control fighting, which has broken out in Shan State. The former general, Myint Sui, who was appointed after a coup in 2021, was speaking at an emergency meeting held by the ruling military council to address a series of coordinated attacks by anti-military insurgents, which have inflicted serious losses on the armed forces. I'm not sure how the junta gets to say that they're insurgents. I guess once you've been established for a while, you get to say that they're insurgents. But if you're the one that did the coup, aren't you? I guess once you're successful, it's not an insurgency anymore. Nah. Thrig, don't take those public roads away from private drivers. Stug, let me know. Myanmar is the modern name. Burma is the colonial name. I'll try and remember to say Myanmar. Anyway, the army is suffering losses. They're having trouble. South Africa, meanwhile, is taking steps to tackle illegal mining. We've talked about many deaths and destruction based on illegal mining in South Africa. They also have a cool name for it. Zuma Zamas, something like that. South Africa's president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has given the green light for 3,300 army personnel to tackle illegal mining, costing $26 million. The deployment, part of Operation Prosper, aims to maintain law and order. The South African National Defense Force, working with the police, will conduct an anti-criminality operation from October 28th to April 28th, 2024. The move follows a 2019 deployment under the same operation to combat gang violence in Western Cape Province. The Minerals Council of South Africa highlights that illegal mining occurring in both disused and active mines damages the country's investment appeal, costing mines and economy billions annually. So, I just thought it was cool that they were making progress in that kind of space. So, now we're back into kind of our more typical territory. Colorado funeral home arrested. Owners arrested after 190 corpses found. The owners of a Colorado funeral home are accused of giving fake cremated remains to some bereaved families, among other allegations. Jan and Carrie Halford were arrested by authorities in Oklahoma on Wednesday. They found 190 sets of decaying remains last month in the couple's funeral home, some dating back to 2019. They are facing charges of abuse of a corpse, theft, money laundering, and forgery. Authorities began investigating the Return to Nature funeral home on October 4th. After neighbors reported a foul smell spreading from the facility. Investigators entered to find abhorrent conditions with dozens of stacked bodies, some of which had been there for years. At a press conference on Wednesday, District Attorney Michael Allen said authorities would not be releasing many details in order to protect the investigation. But yeah, if you want to be a funeral home, you got to be able to bury or dispose of the bodies. You can't just put them in your garage. Jezebel, if you don't know, the website Jezebel is going to shut down after 16 years. The chief executive of the parent company, GO Media, Jim Spanfeller, says in a staff memo, our business model did not align with Jezebel's. It's a feminist U.S. news site, and it was shut down on Thursday with 23 people laid off and no plans for outlet to resume publication. So this is the same site that owns Gizmodo and The Onion. Who knew a company that thrives on sexist, humor could not operate a feminist newspaper properly. Anyway, who would have thought? Anyway, sorry, Calm, I'm not being very entertaining today, but, here, let's get into some tech stuff. Tech news is always interesting. Steve Wozniak's in the hospital. Uh-oh, this is kind of crossing the line from tech to celebrity news, but Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak is in hospital in Mexico. It's not currently clear what the cause is. He's 73 years old, and he was in Mexico City attending the World Business Forum. An unnamed source from the World Business Forum said that Mr. Wozniak fainted on Wednesday afternoon at the event. The BBC has contacted representatives for comment. Haven't heard back yet. So yeah, he's in the hospital, but it's serious business. So yeah, pretty sad there. Surgeons have completed the first human eyeball transplant. Wow, this is pretty cool. Hey, see you later, Koyo. Surgeons have performed the world's first human eyeball transplant in New York. Surgeons have performed the first transplant of an entire human eye, an extraordinary addition to a face transplant, although it's far too soon to know if the man will ever see through his new left eye. Oh, if you can't see out of it, that's kind of a bummer. An accident with the high-voltage power lines destroyed most of Aaron James' face in one eye. His right eye still works, but surgeons at NYU Langone Health hoped replacing the missing one would yield better cosmetic results for his new face by supporting the transplanted eye socket and lid. They announced so far it's doing just that. James is recovering well from the dual transplant last May, and the donated eye looks healthy. It feels good. I still don't have any movement in it yet. My eyelid, I can't blink yet, but I'm getting sensation now, James told the AP. So, you gotta start somewhere. but very, very interesting there. Yep. Apple in the news for suffering a setback, $11 billion, that is. Apple has suffered a setback in its battle to pay an alleged 13 billion euros, or 11.3 billion pounds, to Ireland, after one of the top advisors to the European Court of Justice said a ruling in the tech company's favor should be set aside. Ugh, sorry. My voice is going out. This table is low, so I'm hunched over. But anyway, Cruise has recalled all its self-driving cars after a grisly accident in California ban. So this might be why I haven't seen them lately. General Motors, Cruise Autonomous Vehicle Unit, is recalling all 950 of its cars to update software after one of them dragged a pedestrian to the side of a San Francisco street in October and a subsequent ban by California regulators. The company said in documents posted by U.S. safety regulators on Wednesday that with the updated software, Cruise vehicles will remain stationary should a similar incident occur in the future. The October 2nd crash prompted Cruise to suspend driverless operations nationwide, and California regulators found its cars posed a danger to public safety, and it revoked the license for Cruise. In the crash, another vehicle with a person behind the wheel struck a pedestrian, sending the person into the path of the Cruise vehicle. It stopped, but still hit the person, and then it tried to pull forward to get to the right to get out of traffic, but it was pulling the person along with it. So, yeah, exactly. Thrig pointing it out. How is it grisly if there are no bears involved? That's what I'm saying. Now, this is more news to me that's just kind of sad, and it's the end of the world kind of stuff. So, you know how we were all excited because we found some microbes that eat plastic? Well, it's not quite that simple. What they're doing is the microbes eat the microplastic and then spit out nanoplastics. Nano. Yeah, that's right. Even smaller. A type of zooplankton found in marine and fresh water can ingest and break down microplastics, scientists have discovered. But rather than providing a solution to the threat plastics pose to aquatic life, the tiny creatures known as rotifers could be accelerating the risk by splitting the particles into thousands of smaller and potentially more dangerous nanoplastics. Each rotifer, named for the Latin for wheelbearer, owing to the whirling wheel of cilia around their mouth, can create between 348,000 and 366,000 nanoplastics, particles smaller than 1 micrometer. The animals are microscopic, and this is each day. The animals are microscopic, ubiquitous, and abundant, with up to 23,000 individuals found living in 1 liter of water. The researchers from a team led by the University of Massachusetts Amherst calculated that in Poyang Lake, the largest lake in China, rotifers were creating 13.3 quadrillion nanoplastic particles every day. So plastic takes up to 500 years to decompose, and as it ages, it breaks into smaller and smaller pieces. And so this is just continuing that past forward. So yeah, we thought it would help, but no, it's just way, way smaller now. A professor of environmental science and engineering at the Ocean University of China and the paper's lead author said nanoplastics were not only potentially toxic, but served as carriers for other contaminants. The release of chemical additives in the plastic could be enhanced during and after fragmentation. Bad news, bad news. Wow, I've been going a mile a minute because I'm excited. It is museum day today, so after the show, I'm going to march on down to the bus stop and get to the Museum of Flight, and then from the Museum of Flight, I'm going to go to the Museum of Pop Culture. So should be a museum-y day. I'll let you know how that goes. X1, plastic. If nobody cares to say what kind of plastic, then everything will soon look like emotional sensationalist burbles. Yeah, we should specify more what kind of plastics we're talking about. So here's some moon news that's pretty exciting. Sound. There sound? Did my stuff mess up? On air. It's going.
World.
I think I'm still going out. Is there anything going on? Oh, soon, not sound. Then everything will sound like emotional sensationalist burbles. This makes much more sense. Okay. So big moon news here. Somebody let Publius know if you see him. Bacteria could be used to improve the fertility of lunar soil to allow us to live on the moon. The breakthrough new study combined three different bacteria on lunar soil to see how it would affect growth of a plant, and found that it dramatically helped improve the fertility of material taken from the moon. Adding the three bacteria to the soil helped the researchers grow the plant, the pl grow the planet, which was relative of tobacco named menthe. I don't know why they called it planet. It's probably a typo. The bacteria work by increasing the amount of kind of phosphorus in the soil, which is the major nutrient plants need. Previous studies have shown it's possible to grow cress using lunar soil, but it has been found to be difficult to support plants. Barth is in the house. Welcome, welcome. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like we can sell, feed them, traditional petroleum plastics. So anyway, we could grow stuff from moon dirt. Just bring if we bring the right amen. Oh, is it? We could amend the soil to be able to grow stuff. So pretty exciting. I think it's big news for the moon for sure. Sad news for nuclear fans. The Utah Associated Municipal Power Systems and NuScale Power Corporation have mutually agreed to terminate the carbon-free power project. The project to build NuScale small modular reactor units at a site near Idaho Falls had been penciled in for operation by 2019. Despite significant efforts by both parties to advance the CFPP, it appears unlikely that the project will have enough subscription to continue toward deployment. Therefore, UAMPS and NuScale have mutually determined that ending the project is the most prudent decision for both parties. In July, the project had applied for a U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission for limited work authorization to begin early construction activities for the proposed plant. So yeah. So yeah. Do-do-do. And what else? Oh, here we go. Oh man, my foot itches. One, please. It was like killing me, and I couldn't ignore it anymore. All right. Well, it is 1919 UTC, so I want to be sure and remind you that the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope, a fun show that airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC, is coming up at in 11 minutes from now. So definitely want to stick around and check that out. And of course, if you have any ailments, problems in your mind, your heart, anything that could be cured with a dubious claim, that can be made by going to check it out. Hey, LCD in the house. Yeah, I wonder how many thousands of hours, people's hours work was wasted on the proposal and design and stuff. Yeah, well, it was they were able to get video. I guess they were able to get they were able to get training, on the job training maybe. I think we're talking about the canceled SMR project. But yeah, so Dubious Gold Committee comes in at 19:30 UTC. Today being Thursday means there are a lot of shows, plenty to listen to. We've got Flux with DJ Stug at 20 hours, followed by Language Soup with DJ Supercell at 2100, and Rotors B, or I guess we should say Pumpkin Pie with Mr. Bruges is on at 2200, followed by the Intergalactic Wasabi Mix and Lost in the Bronx's Cavalcade Audio Hour. And Myocyte. So there's shows basically from now until bedtime. So if you want to check it all out, just hang out here and have a good time. I'm gonna go to the museum though, so but try and get back in time to for the Wasabi Mix. That's at 2300 UTC. All right. So I think I covered everything that we need to for that. Minnesota, let's talk about Trump for a second, just because this is tangential news here. The Minnesota Supreme Court has dismissed a lawsuit seeking to bar former President Trump from the state's presidential primary ballot. The challenge from a bipartisan group of state voters sought to block him from being on the ballot because he engaged in insurrection. The state appellate court held in a brief ruling on Wednesday that the Civil War era measure did not apply to the Minnesota primary process, which it argued was a fundamentally local process outside the purview of the United States Constitution. There's no state statute that prohibits a major political party from placing on the presidential nomination primary ballot or sending delegates to the national convention supporting a candidate who is ineligible to hold office, the ruling reads. So, he can be on the ballot because you know what? If they're not allowed to be on the ballot, that's another problem. That's not the state's problem, I guess. But anyway, I just was like, well, this sounds interesting. It's like, no, we don't care if it's a national rule. That's not something we're dealing with right now. We just care about our local stuff, our local rules. Anyway. Politics is always a bit fuzzy, so let's just having a minor breakdown over here on the other side of the keyboard. Sorry. Outside the purview of the U.S. Constitution isn't something that should be heard anywhere in the U.S., in my opinion, says Jay Lamothe. So these are some backlog stories since we've hit the end of the stories I had pulled out. So let's see, what do we got that's relevant? Nope. Wow, you remember Elon Musk wanted to do a cage fight with Zuckerberg? Okay, no. All of these stories are all so bad. Here. Oops, sorry. It's falling apart. Falling apart over here. Let's see. I guess if you didn't hear, I will paraphrase before pulling up some more stories. Gaza's going to have 4-hour pauses. They're not calling them ceasefires, but they're pauses. So they're going to have a couple hour pauses every day to allow humanitarian aid in. Let's see. What do we got? What do we got? What do we got? Okay, whatever. Sorry, now I turned off alerts to try and find stuff. Okay, and Oops, China. No. Earth. Okay. No. Okay. This is boring. Here we go. How about this? This is from Reuters. Transgender people can be godparents at Roman Catholic baptisms, witnesses at religious weddings, and receive baptisms themselves, the Vatican's doctrinal office has said on Wednesday, responding to questions from a bishop. The department, known as the Dicastery of the Doctrine of the Faith, was vague, however, in response to a question of whether a same-sex couple could have a church baptism for an adopted child or one obtained through a surrogate mother. Bishop Jose Negri of Santo Amaro in Brazil sent the doctrinal office 6 questions in July regarding LGBT people and their participation in the sacraments of baptism and matrimony. The 3 pages of questions and answers were signed by the department's head. So, yeah. So anyway, I thought that was kind of a positive move forward. Claudio M. could go for some tea. Yeah, I could too. I've got this herbal tea that was left in this cupboard here, but it's okay. But it's not the best. Oh man, sorry, I ran out of juice. Here, I know what to do. Let me go to, yeah, you could do that too, will ya? How about we go, let's do this, let's go to Bandcamp. I'll just play a song for you. Hearts. Where's the hearts, man? Give me my hearts back. Mild beef. Chilled beef. Horticulture beef. Beef bolognese. Beef turtles. Beef. It's what's for dinner. OX beef. What is, I'm having a brain drain day. How do I pipe this to you? OXEFBE on Intel. You know what, let me see if I've got any music on my thing. This is the end for me, but thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, maybe mobile, but we'll see. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.